This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
I heard you. The whole neighborhood can hear you cussing.
How can you make a mistake like that?
Oh, no. It wasn't a mistake. I did it as a goof.
You goof?
No. Relax.
I don't get it.
Well, clearly, you just don't know me. I goof a lot. My friends know that at least half the time. I am goofing. The thing is, you need to understand my sense of humor. I think that's it.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
It's ridiculous that we can't go get ketchup because they're out of ketchup for weeks at a time.
Ketchup! Ketchup! Where's the ketchup at?
My God, this is like a third world country.
But let me also be blunt and hopefully motivating. We're in trouble. I hope everybody understands that.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That's the number if you'd like to call us. We're going to take a lot of calls in this hour. We haven't taken that many today. But I wanted to mention just a couple of stories. By the way, so one of the texters mentioned, I was trying to think of other jobs that Duvall has had since he left government and expecting to make a bundle. Remember when they had the police shooting in Chicago, he was recruited by, I think, Rahm Emanuel, then the mayor, to lead some blue ribbon panel to investigate the police shooting in Chicago. That lasted about a day and a half. That was another one. And then the people are mentioning, too, that how he got the new drapes and the Cadillac. We called him Cadillac Duvall. Remember that? He replaced the Crown Vic that Mitt Romney had with a Crown Vic, with a Cadillac as soon as he got into office. What a guy. I mean, how much can they be paying him? Whatever they're paying him, it's not what he thinks he's worth. Even at Harvard, he's not getting, and, you know, and especially at Camelot High. Anyway, 844-500-4242. 413 says, isn't it nice Charlie Parker waits until your show is over to start his much-anticipated Snorefest? You know, I'm so old that I can remember when the governors made their State of the State addresses. Charlie Parker's last one is tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, right when the show ends. But, you know, in the old days, this was not a huge story, but it was somewhat major. And, you know, the papers would get the release of the governor's speech is embargoed. Here's the governor's speech, but you can hear some excerpts from the speech. The governor tonight will address his marvelous handling of the COVID depression that he created single-handedly. You know, but, you know, I'm just looking at both papers right now, and there's nothing up there. I get the feeling that it's, you know, getting an early release of the governor's speech is not going to drive a lot of traffic to the website, not going to result in a lot of hits. It's not clickbait, Charlie Parker's State of the State address. 844-500-4242. We got a call last week from a listener who said there was going to be a demonstration at Brigham and Women's Hospital on behalf of a patient who was on the heart transplant list but had been removed because he wouldn't get the vaccine. Well, that story is finally broken. The Boston papers have no interest in it. I don't have to tell you why. It goes against the narrative, but it was reported by Channel 4 last night, and it's in the New York Post today. Boston patient removed from heart transplant list for being unvaccinated. A 31-year-old father has been removed from the heart transplant list at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston because he is referring to get the COVID-19 vaccine, his family says. DJ Ferguson, he has two kids and a third one on the way, 31 years old, was first on the list to receive the transplant but is no longer eligible because of his vaccination status, Channel 4 reported. His father, David Ferguson, said his son, who was fighting for his life in the hospital and is in desperate need of the transplant, doesn't believe in the vaccine. Quote, it's kind of against his basic principles. He doesn't believe in it. It's a policy they are enforcing because he won't get the shot, they took him off the list for a heart transplant. My son has gone to the edge of death to stick to his gun, and he's been pushed to the limits. There's a GoFundMe page has been set up for him. His partner is Heather, and he's got these two little kids. They got a picture of they're cute little kids, and a third one on the way. So this is what the hospital Brigham and Women said in the statement. The COVID-19 vaccine is one of several vaccines and lifestyle behaviors required for transplant candidates in the Mass General Brigham system in order to create both the best chance for a successful operation and also the patient's survival after the transplant. So the father said, we are aggressively pursuing all options, but we are running out of time. I think my boy is fighting pretty damn courageously, and he has integrity and principles he really believes in, and that makes me respect him all the more. It's his body, his choice. And according to the GoFundMe page, his resistance to the vaccine, this is DJ's, has to do with his fear of heart inflammation, which health officials have said in rare cases have been associated with the shots. Ferguson isn't the first patient to be denied a transplant due to his vaccination status. Colorado woman Leilani Lutelli was removed from the kidney transplant list in October because she and her donor hadn't been vaccinated. So this is the story that was mentioned last Friday on the show. 844-500-4242. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hi, Howie.
Hi.
I couldn't help. I had to call. I heard the story that you were talking about Deval Patrick, and he didn't like the Crown Vic, and he had to have the Cadillac.
Yes.
You know, and the sad thing is he got it. You know, somebody should have just told him, fine, you can have it, but you pay for it out of your own pocket. Well, I live in Plymouth, and a couple of years ago, our fire chief didn't like the Ford that everyone else gets, like the police cruisers or all this particular
right.
style Ford. He had to have a GMC, and they gave it to him. It's ridiculous, you know? And these guys make really good money, and if they want it that bad, just go out and pay for it yourself. Or kick in the difference, but it
right.
doesn't work that way.
And I mean, how much money did Deval Patrick get when he left Coke and Texaco? Because he had one of these non-disclosure agreements, and he was hired as general counsel, which is a job you're supposed to have more or less permanently. And he left both of them almost, without being there any amount of time. The longest time he was in any job was governor of Massachusetts. And that was 8 years because there was basically, as Bill Well told us, you didn't have to do anything. And I'll just tell you the story. I forgot about it till just now. But Bill Weld, when he testified at the Whitey Bulger and Steve Fleming hearings going on in court, this was before the trial, and they were just trying to figure out who was an informant and who wasn't and what could be introduced as evidence. And they brought him in as the former U.S. attorney. And so a bunch of us reporters were talking to him outside and were saying, what are you doing now, Governor? And he said, well, I'm trying to work on my novels. He said, but I don't have as much time to work on my novels now that I'm in private practice because I'm not the governor. I had so much more time when I was governor to work on other stuff. And he started laughing. We're all looking at each other like, why are you admitting that you weren't doing anything as governor? But I mean, obviously, Deval Patrick was the same way. That's the way being a governor is. That's why it's such a good job, unless you're tall Deval and you ruin the state. Thanks for the call, John. Andrea, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Andrea.
Howie, I need to comment on the 31-year-old man who was taken off the transplant list.
Yes.
I happen to be a healthcare. I'm a retired healthcare provider. Here's what I don't think people are thinking about. The people who are most likely to get seriously sick from COVID are people who are immune compromised. Everyone who gets a transplant takes anti-rejection drugs, which knock out a portion of your immune system. He is no different. There are people who have taken the three vaccines who are immune compromised who have no antibodies.
I understand, Andrea. I mean, that's why this is such a sad case, because it's like they're not taking into account the possibility that he could get sick and die from these shots.
Not even from the shots. It's that the anti-rejection drugs are knocking out his immune system anyway. It's like the stuff you take for your arthritic condition. It lowers your immune condition. So he's on the same footing as everybody else getting a transplant. I also think it has something to do with his race and the fact that it's COVID. If he was an HIV recipient, would he be thrown off a list? If he had lung cancer but stopped smoking but still had lung cancer?
Well, that occurred to me too, Andrea, when they say lifestyle choices. I mean, certain lifestyle choices will not prevent you from getting the same kind of treatment that other lifestyle choices apparently will prevent you from getting. Am I correct?
In fact, people who've done drugs who need livers and alcoholics can get on transplant lists and get a liver.
No, you mean like Mickey Mantle?
Well, whoever, but you know, there are ethics panels and ethicists. It's kind of like if you want to take someone off life support, but there's like no paperwork and family members are fighting or whatever. There are panels that discuss this. There's something else going on. If this is purely a witch hunt because he won't take the vaccine, shame on everyone involved in this at the Brigham and Women's. Shame on the administration. They are killing him for something that is not even going to do much for him once he gets on those anti-rejection drugs.
All right. Thanks for the call, Andrea. 844-500-4242. It is a sad story. Let's tweet out the story from the New York Post, Taylor, and just so people can see it, and put it on Getter too, and let people read the story. And again, it should be in the Boston papers, but it's not. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He doesn't do this just for the money.
It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests.
Howie Carr, we'll be right back.
We gave you a gun, the authority to use it. One is no good without the other. They don't know that out there. So they'll scream blue murder until the next time they need a man with a badge.
Howie Carr.
I love MyPillow's products. I sleep with their pillows, I wear their slippers, I dry off with their towels. Now you can enjoy all of their products with great discounts by using the code Howie at MyPillow.com. From pillows, towels, slippers, and even their Giza Dream Sheets, which Grace swears by. Go to MyPillow.com and use code Howie for amazing discounts. And we've been talking about the Wall Street Journal story today. Surging grocery prices spur a rise in bargain hunting. So, Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Are you buying more generic brands at the supermarket these days?
Yes, I am.
60% say they are as well.
Okay, it hadn't really changed much all day. I thought people might think more about it and it would go up, but not so much. All right, 844-500-4242. COVID-19 deaths top 2,100 a day. I was looking at this in the Wall Street Journal, highest in nearly a year. But I thought Joe Biden was going to shut down the virus. Didn't he say that? I thought he did. Cassandra, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Cassandra.
That was funny, Howie. I have donor on my driver's license, so I'm not vaccinated. I'm kind of curious. If I was in a car accident, are my organs not good enough for?
You know what? That's really a good question, Cassandra. I just read that story said that in Colorado, a woman was turned down for a heart transplant because neither she nor her donor were vaccinated. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, it's funny that they mentioned it.
Yeah, is this the first you've thought of this?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see if anybody knows, any texters or any callers know the answer to that, because I don't know the answer to it. Thanks for calling, though, Cassandra. Thanks for making yourself a donor. I mean, it's a sad story today. We mentioned it earlier. The second New York City cop who was shot in Harlem on Friday night, he'd been on life support, and he died today. I guess they took him off life support 4 days later. And his organs are all being donated to various recipients. Thanks for the call, Cassandra. Ben, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
Yeah, the whole donor thing down at Brigham's, we were just down there. We live up in Maine, but we were just up down there last week. My wife had surgery on her lungs to have some cancerous nodules removed. And they never said anything about a COVID vaccination.
And really?
The funny thing is, yeah. And the funny thing is like, we were just down there the week before. Like, of course, before her procedure, she had to go in and have a COVID test done. But when we were down there the week before for her scans, they didn't require any kind of COVID test for her to go in and do all that.
Well, you know, they've been having problems in all the hospitals everywhere with the fact that they require the doctors, the nurses, the staff, everybody to get a vaccine, and a lot of people are just walking away, and it's a big problem. They're having the demonstrations in Boston. You know, the Michelle Wu, she's trying to get out from under this vaccine mandate that she's put forward. But they're having demonstrations. The city workers are having demonstrations, and also the restaurants are angry about the vaccine passports. It's killing the business. And so this is Sergeant Shana Catone from the Boston PD. We've had her on the show before. She's the head of Boston First Responders United. This is her at the rally they had last night. Cut 32.
I am so blessed and thankful that you guys are here. This is what community looks like. This is what people standing up for one another looks like. This is what love looks like. This is what love looks like. This is healing. This is how you overcome a virus. This right here. Not through coercion, not through threats, not through bribery. Those are the things that people get arrested for. That's what the mafia does. But here we are, the government, bribing, threatening, coercing. Do this or I'll ruin you. No. And today, we're all standing here because we say no. We know it's wrong. For some reason, they don't. Their North Star, their moral compass, it's off.
Their moral compass is off. That is so right. And I'm going to read you a story when we come back. Never forgive or forget the enablers of the destructive COVID panic. It's from American Thinker by Steve McCann. It's on Howie's Homework, by the way, if you want to check out Howie's Homework every day. Some of the stories we read, they're always good stories on there. And even if we don't get to them, they're probably worth checking out. 844-500-4242. Everybody hang on. We're going to take more calls in just a moment. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. So the Biden administration today, at just after 4 o'clock, has withdrawn its emergency private sector vaccination mandate after the Supreme Court blocked its implementation. I love the way they put this. The OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, said Tuesday that it would continue to work on imposing the vaccination requirement through the regular and lengthier rulemaking process. Not only is it regular and lengthier, but it's also legal. The Biden administration is deeply disappointed that they have to try to impose this mandate through legal methods as opposed to executive orders. 844-500-4242. Meanwhile, the trial of of Sarah Palin versus the New York Times. They libeled her in an editorial that they knew was false. Their news stories proved that the story was false. They blamed her for the shooting of Gabby Giffords in Arizona. Yeah, even though their news story said she had nothing to do with it, they printed an editorial saying that she was responsible for it. So she's suing them. And the trial has had to be postponed because she came down with the virus. And so Judge Jed Rakoff said, she is, of course, unvaccinated. But, you know, he's a Clinton, Bill Clinton appointee, Harvard Law School. So like Deval Patrick. People are remembering all of his great moments, Deval Patrick saying, when I used to call him Coop Deval, you know, because he had a Cadillac, Coupe de Ville, Coupe de Val. And then remember the state paved the road to his mansion. He has a mansion in Richmond, Virginia, I almost said. Richmond, Massachusetts in Berkshire County, as opposed to Richmond, Virginia, the cradle of the Confederacy. They paved it. Remember, too, he was drinking wine. After the Boston Marathon bombing, he was drinking wine by himself at a local hippie emporium near Richmond, Massachusetts. What a clown he was. And now he's this, I guess we should have known all along this was where he would end up, at Camelot High, where you go to learn how to lose elections. 844-500-4242. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Howie, thank you so much for taking my call. Before I get to my the Democratic hypocrisy, the organ donor thing. Imagine how many families, when they lose a loved one, a young loved one, and then their organs are transplanted, and the heart felt that their loved one lives on. I mean, there is a real powerful thing about organ donor. And
like the New York City cop today. I mean, it's really sad, but you know, he made the right decision, or his family made the right decision to donate his organs. Go ahead.
So you don't, I mean, closure, you don't really have to go. But my real point is the fact that Americans are watching us, concerned about a border 2,000-4,000 miles away with 120,000 Russians, when close to 200,000 immigrants crossed the border in December. I mean, how can this insanity continue? I mean, it's madness. Isn't that madness?
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. There's a story here. It's on Powerline blog. They picked it up from Fox. Fox witnessed, this is in Texas. Fox witnessed men, these are illegal aliens, go into a small unmarked office, then reemerge moments later as multiple taxi cabs showed up to collect the illegal aliens, who were then shuffled off to nearby Harlingen Airport. No children or migrant families among the group. So these are single adult males. These are the type of people that get into trouble, to put it mildly, when they come across the border. Several of the illegals told Fox they had crossed illegally that morning, paying approximately $2,000 per person to cartel smugglers. They had $2,000 to pay coyotes to get them into the country. But they're not indigent. But they're just coming up here because they just wanted to you know, live off Uncle Sap forever. They were flying to destinations including Miami, Houston, and Atlanta. Single adults are supposed to be expelled via Trump-era Title 42 public health protections. That's what Jen Psaki was citing today, but it's not true. The Biden administration kept Title 42 in place but is not applying it to unaccompanied children of most migrant families. However, single adults have long been the easiest target of migrants to deport. But the city of Brownsville says that it is working to facilitate, Brownsville, Texas, is working to facilitate, quote, the transfer of these illegals to their final destination by allowing them to use services to contact their families, NGOs, non-government organizations, or a taxi cab. A taxi cab! Who's paying for the taxi cab? It was a rainy night in Brownsville. I needed one more illegal alien MS-13 gangbanger fentanyl dealer to make my night. It confirmed that the parking garage serves, this is the city of Brownsville, Texas, serves as a staging area for illegals to be given travel information to facilitate their transfer to their final destinations. Migrants can also be given a health screening there. Do they have to get a vaccine? Do they have to wear a mask? We're listening to DeSantis last week when he said he's putting an appropriation into the state budget in Florida to move all the illegal aliens to Delaware. And he said he's going to save a few bucks to send a couple of plane loads to Martha's Vineyard. I loved hearing that. Even though I do pay taxes still in Massachusetts, I just make Obama face the reality of what he's doing. Make John Kerry face the reality of having some in his backyard.
They're gonna come here, we'll provide buses and provide them. I will send them to Delaware and do that. I mean, if he's not going to support the border being secured, then he should be able to have everyone there.
Exactly. And again, he added that he's going to save a little money to send him to Martha's Vineyard. Not Nantucket, though, apparently. Bruce, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hey, Howie. Thanks so much for taking my call. Think about the state the world was in pre-World War II. The leader of the free world at that time, Neville Chamberlain, is our Biden. The Berlin Olympics had Hitler and Mussolini. The Beijing Olympics are going to have the premier and Putin.
Right.
Hitler amasses people on the border of Germany or forces, and no one does a thing to move on Western Europe. Putin puts 80,000 men on the Ukrainian border, and we put 8,500 on high alert. These guys have to be laughing. And I think if I'm the premier of China or if I'm Putin, I'm saying to myself, there's no better time to move in the world than right now. We can't wait till the next election because conservatives might come in. The U.S. will never be weaker than right now. We've got to move right now. And my guess,
I think they're going to wait till after the Olympics, aren't they, Bruce?
That's what I think. I think within 30 days, they'll be in, Putin will move, and within 90 days, I think China will move, because they know they can. They're not going to wait. They've been waiting for this opportunity for 50 years.
And you see, the Republicans in Congress are starting to say that Iran may have finally have the nuclear bomb, despite all the great Israeli intelligence operations with the Mossad blowing up these nuclear facilities. They may finally get the bomb within 12 to 18 months. And again, several of the negotiators with Iran have quit. There's a big story in the Daily Mail about it. I guess they picked it up from the Wall Street Journal, because the Biden administration is just saying, give them whatever they want. Whatever they want. Just, it's back to Obama era. They're not delivering pallets of cash, but they're doing everything but that. Thanks for the call, Bruce. 844-500-4242. Jimmy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, good afternoon, Howie. Jimmy Carroll. I just wanted to let you know, I'm going back a little summers ago, which was January 22. I had a liver transplant, and that woman was 100% right. I'm on all kinds of anti-rejection pills and everything for it, Howie. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing we have right here in Massachusetts is the Mass General Hospital. The greatest place in the world.
I've been in there, and I you're right. It is one of the finest hospitals in the world. Absolutely. Even, they've had problems, a lot of problems. My doctor got fired and he sued him, but, it's still a great hospital. You're right, Jimmy.
And I'll tell you something. I've been in politics all my life, Howie. And I'm going to say one thing to you. I was a near and dear friend of a friend of yours, Dapper O'Neill. And he was one of the best guys that was up in City Hall. He spoke the way he did. because he came, he spoke from the heart.
I know. I love Dapper. I still miss him. I still think about him a lot. Dapper O'Neill, the city councilor, Albert Leo Dapper O'Neill. Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Good luck with your return to health. Now there's a guy named Dapper on the line. Is this it's not Dapper's gone. So this is a different
Hi,
Dapper.
Howie.
Go ahead.
Hey, Howie.
Hi.
I decided to comment up Dapper. I spoke to you last week. Too many Bobs around. Anyways, I went to my Mass General, Brigham and Women's Mass General doctor today for a checkup. And, oh my God, he was pushing me so hard to get this vaccine. I would give him, for instance, my wife works in a school. I said, three people have got it, two are vaccinated, one wasn't. They all got sick. They all got better. I just don't see the great advantage. Oh, that's anecdotal. That's just, he refuted everything I said. He didn't want to hear anything I really had to say. He kept telling me that I was, you know, I'm putting myself in great jeopardy of dying. I got risk factors. I confronted him with the fact that I'm healthy. He says, well, are you 72? And I says, yeah, but I'm a healthy 72. And I've been all over the place. I've been to sold-out football games. I've been to sold-out baseball games. And I'm fine. And what do I need to get it by now? If my wife is working around people that have gotten it, I've either gotten it and I haven't got sick, or I haven't gotten it. But the way they push it is just so, I don't know. It just makes it seem wrong.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. But, I mean, maybe he's, I guess from his perspective, it's the wise decision. I love the fact that he used the anecdotal. That reminds me of another Deval Patrick story. Remember that? Whenever you'd say, what about all the welfare abuse, the fact that you're giving out all this free money to people, and you send them letters, 10% of them come back, so that's 10% fraud. And he would just say, oh, that's just an anecdote. That's just an anecdote. Or, you know, illegal aliens killing citizens, drunk driving. That's just a single anecdote, Howie. Come on. Come on. Deval Patrick, the newest professor, the co-leader of the Center for Public Leadership at Camelot High in the People's Republic of Cambridge. BOGO is back for 1 week only for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. You've been waiting for it, and now it is here. You've always wondered if the Thunderstorm Air Purifier works, and this is the best time to find out. Officer Mark wrote, quote, what a great product. Just after 1 day's use, my humble hovel has clean air scent that is so different from air purifiers that we've tried before. I installed it, meaning he plugged it in our bedroom, and it is so quiet that it's unnoticeable. I can confirm that. It is unnoticeable, and it does make whatever room you put it in smell much better.
That's the only thing you notice about it. There's no noise. It's not this giant, bulky thing. It sits alongside the wall. It sits on the wall, actually, in the outlet. You can put it behind a piece of furniture, under a coffee table, against the wall, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's going to blend in. People will not notice it.
And the only thing you'll notice is if there was a smell in the room before anything, when you come back, it's going to be gone. My wife and I, says Officer Mark, got a great night's sleep because we could breathe freely without the usual dry desert air feeling that keeps you awake, unquote. Do what Officer Mark did and take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer for this week only. You buy one and you get one. This is only until this Sunday, January 30th. This is only for my listeners, so go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code HOWIEBOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word HOWIEBOGO. BOGO. Shipping is free. I'm Howie Carr.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarshow.com. He's the undisputed king of New England talk radio.
No brag, just fact.
Howie Carr.
(844) 500-42-42-603. Hopefully nobody bounces another empty soda can off Deval's head at Harvard. Oh, Lord. Okay, this is Steve McCann's column in American Thinker today. Never forget, forgive or forget the enablers of the destructive COVID panic. After nearly 2 years of America pursuing politically motivated policies to quote-unquote eradicate an unstoppable respiratory virus, an increasing number of liberal politicians, commentators, and publications have begun to speak out about the failures and human costs of lockdowns and vaccine mask mandates. They, along with many on the right, are applauding those who now claim the government COVID policy was a catastrophic moral crime. I wonder if Charlie Parker will mention this tonight, his role in this catastrophic moral crime. Why, who are these charlatans who are embarking on a campaign to exonerate themselves for their complicity in a catastrophic moral crime? Many of them, I'm talking to you, Charlie Parker, were at the forefront of spreading ideologically motivated lies. The bureaucrats, the politicians, and the Democrat Party mouthpieces in the corporate media lied about the virus because they believed that honesty would not generate sufficient fear and trepidation in the overall population to justify the institution of a quasi-police state and the unconstitutional revamping of election law in key states.
Did this just happen?
This is a great, great column, but Here, the guy, Steve McCann, goes over some of the effects of this catastrophic moral crime. The permanent closure of nearly 40% of all small businesses in the U.S. The 50% increase in attempted suicides by teens. The record-setting rise in drug overdose deaths. The inconceivable long-term toll on children's mental health and learning. The dramatic increase in the total national debt, which stood at $22.7 trillion at the end of 2019, is now $29.8 trillion. The untold death of untold thousands due to being unable to access medical services and screening during the lockdowns. The unchecked inflation rate hitting a 40-year high and empty store shelves rampant throughout the country as the supply chain has been deliberately fractured with vaccine mandates and new regulatory impediments. The greatest transfer of wealth in history from the lower and middle classes to the elites as American billionaires gained over $2.1 trillion in new wealth, a 70% increase in a mere 18 months. The wide-open southern border resulting in nearly 2 million indigent illegal aliens flooding into the United States in less than a year. The loss of faith and confidence in the nation's elections is nearly 60% of Americans now believe the 2020 election was riddled with fraud, etc., etc. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.